very nice opening. I'll probably be getting a lot of emails about that, saying, what was that song and who was it? Well, welcome to Profiles in Folk and WSHU Public Radio, Jonna Stanfield.
Thank you. Actually, I wrote that when I was 33, and all the verses of the whole song were about being 33, and I've had to make it more age-inclusive, mainly just to include me.
Well, we were reminiscing before we went on the air that I can remember receiving Jonna Stanfield's very first recording many years ago, a cassette tape. And I don't recall the title of it, but and I couldn't find it. And I know I still have it somewhere in my house. But it is wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. You know, if you received a cassette from me, that would have the stamp licked by me, mm-hmm. The envelope sealed by me. It would have been wrapped in bubble wrap by me. The jacket of the cassette, those were called J cards because they looked, mm-hmm. were in the shape of a J. I would have made that myself, and I didn't know how to use a computer, so I sized everything at Kinko's to design the graphics and, then cut, had them cut at Kinko's and folded them myself, black and white. Yeah, I think it was called Jonna Stanfield.
Yeah, you're on target there because that's what I seem to remember, which is probably why I couldn't remember the title of it.
Yeah. Don't ask me how I came up with that. It took a lot of time. Meditation. Yeah, I think we'll call it Jonna Stanfield.
Well, that is all past history now.
You know, everybody needs a, self-titled CD. I said CD. Self-titled cassette.
And you have gone on to great success, and you've carved a career that probably is not the familiar career of a lot of people who start out in folk and acoustic music. But you're now not only a singer-songwriter, but also a motivational speaker, a keynote speaker, a world traveler.
I just found that I could not. I just could not live the traditional definition of a troubadour. Mm-hmm. I always thought, I wondered, what does troubadour mean? And I thought it should mean something like one who uses music to open the door of truth. Mm-hmm. And I found out the actual definition is one who drives a $500 car across the country from gig to gig, playing a $3,000 guitar for tips. And that just didn't work for me. So when I had the opportunity to start using songs like this, playing at women's mm-hmm. conferences,
right.
And then I had other songs that kind of had a message in them and got invited to sing between speakers, like Wayne Dyer, Bernie Siegel, Deepak mm-hmm. Chopra, I started thinking, if you'd give me an hour slot like these guys have, I could really have some fun, and so could the audience. And so I made that my business to make that happen.
Yeah. And you also use music sort of as therapy.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways. You've got a lengthy list of conferences, but part of that list I noticed was just a lot of conferences, meetings of health and wellness as well.
Yeah, I say that what my favorite audiences are those, for conference audiences, are those in the helping professions. Mm-hmm. And for me, being in music, that's being in the helping profession also, because whether a music makes you laugh or makes you look at something in a different way, the power of music is that through the power of repetition, you get to make that point. For example, with a song like I'm Not Lost, I'm Exploring, which I may do here in a second. Let me tune my guitar.
Okay.
Through the power of repetition, you get to plant that idea for somebody. So the next time they are lost, learning a new computer program or learning the way somewhere, they can say, I'm not lost. I'm exploring. It's okay to have beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to do this?
Sure.
Show?
I could look down on this path I walk from somewhere way up high, I could see the crooked road that I've come. I walked a mile with sorrow, I walked a mile with joy. Now I'm less afraid of either one. For every tear I've cried, there's a smile that I have earned. For every mile I walk, there's a lesson I learned. I'm not lost, I am exploring. Life is an adventure worth enjoying. Though I may not know where I'm going, I am not lost, I am exploring. I am not lost, I am exploring. Some people choose to live their lives on quiet avenues, while others find a place in the parade. Some like me are seekers, we take less traveled roads, believing we can find a better way. And though I get discouraged, I won't be turning back. I have joy as my compass and faith as my map. I'm not lost, I am exploring. Life is an adventure worth enjoying. Though I may not know where I'm going, I am not lost, I am exploring. I am not lost, I am exploring. I'm not lost, I am exploring. Life is an adventure worth enjoying. Though I may not know where I'm going, I am not lost, I am exploring. I am not lost, I am exploring. I am not lost, I am exploring.
That sums up a lot. I like the use of the less traveled road in that as well. One of the things that struck me about your music and many of the activities that you're doing is that there is a very positive bent on it, sort of uplifting. And you were speaking earlier about the whole positive music movement.
Yeah.
Could you explore that a little bit?
Yeah. So in about the last 5 years, it's been developed that we have music awards, the Positive Music Awards. Mm. They'll be happening in Florida in January. And it'll take place at the Positive Music Festival. So this will be the first Positive Music Festival, although our awards weekends have been, you know, big festivals for us. But it's officially now, for the first time, a Positive Music Festival. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that the theme of the songs is just that they're helpful, that their intention is to be helpful, whether they make you laugh or cause you to look at life in a different way. Mm-hmm. They are songs with the intention of sharing a little wisdom. Mm-hmm. And burying that in entertainment.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like there's a whole category of musicians who kind of drop into that area.
Yes, there are. And maybe some of them are not completely positive music. But it's something I think as folk artists, we are really drawn to. I mean, mm-hmm. why stand up there going blah, 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 blah? Or I think it was a guy, he had his album was called More Songs About Me. Blah, me, blah, 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 me, yeah. blah, blah, yeah. blah, I, blah. Why? You know, let's share some lessons of life. And that's what drew me to folk music, was those lessons of life songs.
Mm-hmm. How did you first start out?
As a television news reporter.
Okay.
Which is another explanation for why I'm so interested in using language in a positive way, because mm-hmm. I was paid and it was my job to manipulate language to manipulate people.
Okay.
We manipulated people to be afraid, be very afraid. And this was back in the early 80s when it was still our job to get people's attention using whatever we could, and fear we knew was the greatest motivator, trying to get people to be afraid not to see the news because you're afraid you'll miss something that could keep your family safe. Mm-hmm. I heard something today about the levels our parents giving the levels of arsenic in apple juice. And I just thought, oh, what could scare a parent more than, mm-hmm. you know, that you're giving yeah. arsenic to your children? And I remember hearing a news tease one day after I was out of the news, and it was, are you accidentally poisoning your children? Tune in at 6.
Yeah.
Well, who's not going to tune in for that? But it was a complete manipulation because they didn't put it on till after the weather. So you know it's not that important yeah, right. after the sports and weather. And it was about right. caffeine. Who doesn't mm-hmm. know that caffeine's not great for kids? But you're not poisoning your children.
Right. Yeah.
So that was my job, and I really didn't like manipulating language that way and using my gift that way. Mm-hmm. This is my penance. I'm making amends, trying to counteract the damage I did.
Great. And television is doing it, seems like, more than ever now. In recent years compared to even back then in the 80s. Did you grow up with music around you?
Yes. My mother is an elementary music teacher.
Ah, okay.
Yes. And my dad is your math teacher, your junior high math teacher, who would bring his guitar to school once a semester and play folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, country songs.
Right.
Yeah. And he was a songwriter. He had a band. He had a radio show. When I was in high school, I could have been on his radio show every week, but it was country music and it was just too uncool. I was on there maybe a couple of times, but it's so uncool. It's embarrassing.
So when did you start playing professionally?
Not until I was in my 30s.
Okay.
Because I was busy being a news reporter, and you know, I told God mm-hmm. I wanted to be on TV. I learned you need to be more specific. Yeah, and here I am at my dream. You know, I really wanted to be the interviewee, not the interviewer, but it mm-hmm. took years of being the interviewer before right. I could get the courage to do my musical dream. And, you know, I have a song. This is probably my best-known song, even though it's not the one that put platinum albums on my wall, which I'll do that song later. But I think the most popular one is What Would I Do Today If I Were Brave? Mm-hmm. And that was my story of being a television news reporter and wishing I had the courage to be a musician.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
What would I do if I knew that I could not fail? If I believed, would the wind always fill up my sail? How far would I go? What could I achieve? Trusting the hero in me. If I were brave, I'd walk the razor's edge, where true believers dare to tread. never lose faith, even when losing my way. What step would I take today if I were brave? What would I do today if I were brave? What would I do today if I were brave? What would I do today if I were brave? What would I do today if I were brave? What if we're all meant to do what we secretly dream? What would you ask if you knew you could have anything? Like the mighty oak sleeps in the heart of a seed, are there miracles in you and me? If I were brave, I'd walk the razor's edge, where true believers dare to tread. Never lose faith, even when losing my way. What step would I take today if I were brave? What would I do today if I were brave? What would I do today?
Wonderful feasts that ask a very basic question.
Yeah, that so many of us have faced, you know, whether you're a television news reporter who wants to be a musician or an engineer who wants to be a gardener, you know, just
how'd
working.
How you know Paul's secret desire?
Yeah, he's just waiting till he can get his big break in landscaping. Yeah, I'm just doing this till I get my big break as a waitress. No, I've actually spent many, many, many college summers as a waitress and worked in the school cafeteria with the hairnet. So mm-hmm. That explains why I had a lot of time to practice music in college. No social life.
Well, Jana is, our guest is Jana Stanfield here at Profiles in Folk, and we should tell you she is in town for this weekend. She is from Nashville, but she will be doing a series of events at the Westport United Methodist Church, which is just north of exit 42 of the Merritt Parkway. Starting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., mm-hmm. you will be doing a free songwriting workshop, and that's pretty adventurous, 3 hours of songwriting. Do you break down songwriting into all its basic elements?
Well, what I teach is the KISS method of songwriting, you know, keep it simple, sweetie.
Right.
And for anybody who's thinking about, oh, I've always kind of wanted to write songs, or maybe you've got some half songs, bring them tomorrow. Bring your poetry. Maybe you're a poet. Bring them. No musical ability is required. Because there are always people with music ability who just don't have what it takes to sit down and write the words. So, you know, co-writing is a great way to put those people together. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a lot of musical ability and you've wanted to write songs, please come. I think we all think it's way too complicated, especially, this is just one of those little techniques I'll be sharing. Most of us, when we start writing a song, we start with the first line. My philosophy is write the chorus first. Mm. And yes, this is a technique, so there's more than one way to do it. But if you write the chorus first, over half the song is already complete, And frankly, it's the part people are going to remember anyway.
Right.
And the easiest way to write a chorus is title of the song, title of the song. This is where you put the title of the song. And I'll just give you the mm-hmm. world's best example. Okay. Title of the song, title of the song, title of the song, yeah, title of the song. This is where you put the title of the song. Doesn't get much easier than that. There's so many Beatles songs. Can't buy me love. Everybody tells me so. Can't buy me love. No, 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 no. Lots of Beatles songs. They just put the title in there because the chorus is just meant to be the bottom line of the song. And if you can write your chorus first, then you've already got your title, you got your chorus, you got the meat of the song right there. So you just sort of fill in some lines to get people to the chorus.
Mm-hmm. All right. So 10 a.m. tomorrow morning at the Westport United Methodist Church for a free songwriting workshop. Then you'll be in concert Saturday evening at 8 o'clock at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a ticketed event. Do you ever have a song developed in the workshop, if you're doing a workshop in the morning, that you may present later in concert? Not be your song.
Yes, I have had people come up and perform something at concerts. Yeah, I have. It's usually not my song because I'm helping everybody else write. So I'm giving people free input, free ideas. But I don't need my name on any of that stuff. I love to help people go from songwriting is difficult to, dang, it's that easy? It's like I've given someone, give them a car. Now you can drive anywhere you want to go. You can drive this thing. It's not that hard.
Right. And then you will be following up on Sunday. You'll be doing a Sunday sermon at the church in the 9:30 a.m. service. And then from 11 until whenever. I guess you've got it down for an hour, but probably will be longer, is Meet Jonas Stanfield. And so there are a lot of opportunities for our listeners, certainly, to plug into Jonas Stanfield this weekend.
Yeah, and what I want, it kind of feels strange, you can go meet her, and you can see her, and it's like all about me, and I'm so others focused. And what I want people to know is if you get near any of these events, you will feel encouragement. You will feel inspiration. You will feel stronger than you felt before. You will sort of have a shift of mind. I like to call it a faith lift. And I believe if we get enough faith lifts in our lives, we won't worry whether we can ever have a face lift. Because when you get a faith lift, it brings that smile to your face. And a smiling face is always beautiful.
All right. And just getting back to the songwriting, you're probably from the songwriting. Nashville's the songwriting capital of the country now.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
How about if I do the song that was the 5 million selling song?
Sure.
That was recorded by Reba McEntire. It's not a particularly country song. It wasn't written to be a country song, but they put the twang on in the studios when you write something there. I love it that so many of our, well-known folk artists are people who started out as Nashville songwriters and have their own careers now because they were great at writing songs. Like, Steve Seskin actually lives in San Francisco, but he's considered a Nashville songwriter because he's there all the time. And Tom Kimmel, so many great artists from there. John Smith, Karen Taylor Good. If I had only known it was our last walk in the rain, I'd keep you out for hours in the storm. I would hold your hand like a lifeline to my heart, and underneath the thunder we'd be warm. If I had only known it was our last walk in the rain. If I had only known I'd never hear your voice again, I'd memorize each thing you ever said. And on these lonely nights, I could think of them once more and keep your words alive inside my head. If I had only known, I'd never hear your voice again. Let me hold you one more time. Let me thank you for the difference you made in my life. If I had only known it was my last night by your side, I'd pray a miracle would stop the dawn. And when you smiled at me, I would look into your eyes and make sure you know my love for you goes on and on. If I had only if I had only known.
Such a stunning song. It's beautiful.
I have a friend who tells me that song makes him emotionally incontinent. But I'm hoping it'll give me my ideal corporate sponsor, Kleenex.
How has your songwriting changed over time?
Hmm.
Or has it changed? I mean, it's obvious you have got a multitude of albums out.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the material is yours.
Yeah.
You obviously write quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I can tell you how it's changed. It's very influenced by people who like the music and you tell me what they use it for. You know, I've spoken at many music therapy conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably would have been a music therapist if I'd known what that was when I was coming up through school. But it's you know, therapeutic music and using music to help people heal and to help children and, you know, just all kinds of things. So people started coming and they were teachers of this dance modality. It's like aerobics, yoga, it's all these things, but it's called Nia, and you could call it non-impact aerobics.
Mm.
It's very free flowing. You don't have to be like jazzercise with, you know, all these precise movements.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started telling me they were using my music in dance classes, and I was thinking, wow, on my next CD, maybe I should try having a drum. You know,
right.
That might really be helpful. So, you know, I put the whole band in there, and it was less sounding like me in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted the first albums to be very real acoustic, living room, personal, intimate sounding. But after that, it's like, hey, let's make this big. I can have some intimate songs on there, but let's make the other ones big. So I started, you know, working with the full band and all that. And that was on Brave Faith. And then the next CD was Let the Change Begin Within, and we started working with loops, you know, and drum patterns and cool electronic things. But, you know, they were electronically triggered, but they were real drum sounds. And then on the last CD, I decided to do something completely out of the box, and it's a two-CD set, and one side is called Chance to Dance, C-H-A-N-T-S, Chance to Dance. And so it's phrases, affirmations, you know, positive sayings that I set to music, and it's sort of repetitive, and it's got different sections coming in and out, and worked with Art Webb, who is goes by This Is Art, and he's a very popular DJ. And so he did the remixes and made them sound cool. And and that's so odd for a folk artist to do. But I think we can't limit ourselves to one thing. It's like if you got famous painting in red, green, and blue, you can't just paint in red, green, and blue forever.
You're right.
Got to grow.
Our guest tonight is Janice Stanfield here on the first hour of Profiles in Folk, and we'll go over her schedule again. She's in Connecticut for a series of events at the Westport United Methodist Church, which is just north of, it's on Weston Road, and is just north of exit 42 of the Merritt Parkway, just down the road from WSHU. And Saturday, she will be doing at 10 a.m., she will be doing a free songwriting workshop at the church. And on Saturday evening, she'll be doing a concert at the church as well. On Sunday, you can go to church and hear Jonna do the Sunday sermon in song at 9:30 a.m., and then there is a Meet Jonna Stanfield session after the service at 11 a.m., and that's your schedule. Now,
let's call that last thing, Let Me Meet You.
Okay, let me meet you. Right.
What were you going to say?
what's a Jonna Stanfield concert like?
Well, you know, so much about church, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, what if there are people out there who have some sort of stigma about church, and they're thinking, you know, it's going to be religious, and we're going to have an altar call, and I'm going to sing just as I am 15 or 20 times until you feel so pressured. You have to do something. Not like that at all. You know, Methodists aren't known for being awfully religious. We're a lot of fun, and we're very spiritual, but it's not a heavy thing at all. And so if I do a concert in a church, it is just about the same as a concert I'd do anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or if I'm at a women's conference or a healthcare conference, there's a spirituality in the songs, but it's not blatant. For example, I have a song called Listen for the Whisper That Only the Heart Can Hear. You can have that be about anything, you know. Mm-hmm. You can have it be about meditation, if that's, you know, how you hear the whisper that only the heart can hear. You can have it be about walking in nature. You can have it be whatever you want it to be. And so what I always choose to do is use everyday words, everyday language, and let people have their own interpretation. Mm-hmm. There's definitely spirituality in there, if you're listening for that. And if you're not, it's just a song.
Right,
that's fine, too.
Right. It seems to me that a lot more folk and acoustic performers these days are trending more towards spiritual type of works as well. I've had several guests in here who've, you know, play actually almost church circuits.
Yes. Churches have been very welcoming to us for such a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, it started out with Unitarians Unity churches. And the Positive Music Awards lots of those people I have played with on the Unity Church circuits for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so we could come in and we could do a Friday night folk show and a Sunday, and sometimes like a Saturday concert or a Sunday service, and then a concert in the afternoon, without the requirement that our music be religious, but that it have spiritual messages in it. I think it's also just part of being alive. You can't be alive without noticing that there's spirit. There is. It's just undeniable. And I think maybe we get a little more bold as we get older about saying, you know, yeah, I'm not afraid to say I believe there's something greater than myself, and that it's a really good thing, and that we can celebrate it. Without insisting that anyone else see it that way.
Now, in the positive music movement, who are some of your favorite performers, you know, that you may enjoy performing with or that you just like to listen to?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think my first favorite positive music artist, I don't think he calls himself this. He's never submitted anything to the awards that I know of. But it's David Wilcox.
Right. Okay.
You know, he was one of those first people that I heard that had a message in his music that helped me. Those songs helped me. I enjoyed them. They'd get stuck in my head, and they helped me. And those are the sort of things I was writing too, and that really gave me encouragement. Yes, this is a good thing to do, and you can fill a whole album with it, and people can enjoy it just as music, or it can be helpful.
Right. Yeah, he's had an effect on so many people that way.
And then some of the people we've mentioned, Tom Kimmel, Karen Taylor Good, David Roth. David Roth was another one that right after David Wilcox, I was introduced to David Roth's music, and I just absolutely love him. And then in the Bitchin' Babes, one of the original members of the Bitchin' Babes is Megan McDonough.
Yes, right.
And you know, she's one of my best friends now. All these people are like best friends, but Megan and Karen Taylor Good, seriously, best friends. And we do this kind of music, and we'd see each other out there at folk festivals, and we'd see each other, you know, passing through, you know, Unity churches, Methodist churches, Unitarian churches. There's a place in Dallas, it's the biggest folk venue in Dallas, and it's called Uncle Calvin's Coffee House.
Right.
And it's at, I think, is it Presbyterian or Lutheran?
I don't know. I'm familiar with the name of the coffee house, though. Everybody who's anybody performs there. Yeah.
So I think it's been so wonderful for churches to give us a beautiful space, no interruption, great acoustics, and people who are there and want to laugh, want to be inspired, want to feel good, want to enjoy, and have a message a musical message that opens the door to truth.
Right. Now, you take your music, I noticed on your webpage, just global. Doing a lot of different, like, volunteer efforts, leading trips and such. Would you talk a little bit about that and what you have found? I know you've been to South Asia to various countries.
Yeah. Took people to Vietnam and Cambodia, last year. I like to take people on volunteer trips. I think there are a lot of people there who have said to themselves, someday I'll travel, someday I'll see the world. And now, you know, time is going by. We see how fast it goes by, and they haven't done it yet. And then it's hard to find someone to go with. You know, someone who's in your circle of friends who also feels that's important and can go at the same time you can go. That's hard to find. So the first time I went to Bali, I loved it so much. It really shifted my attitude about life. And I felt really inspired to bring people to Bali. I knew it would help the Balinese. Because Americans tip, and I mean, a dollar tip to them is amazing. Not like a hotel here where they kind of stand around and think you're rude if you don't give them a dollar because they lifted your bag out of the trunk. But to them, you know, they'll carry your bag upstairs on their head, and if they get a dollar, whoa, it's so helpful. They need it. And so I thought, they need us, and we need that Balinese spirit. It's so inspiring, the way they look at life. They're very spiritual people. So I just was inspired. I go, oh, my gosh, if I put a trip together and I say, go with me, then, you know, I'll be that person you can go with. And so I've been doing that ever since, to India, all over the place. And then I go on those sorts of...
South America this
summer. Yeah, David Roth and I led a trip to Machu Picchu, and we... helped a village that's building smokeless ovens so that the smoke of their kitchen fire that's on all day long in the Andes doesn't, you know, give them all lung cancer. Yeah, so that's been a lot of fun. Would you like to have a song that is about sort of that theme?
Yes, that'd be terrific.
All right. So this is a cousin to What Would I Do Today If I Were Brave? And it's the title song from my latest CD, which also has The Chance to Dance in it. And it's about those things that we always think we're going to do, and we realize life is passing us by. And if we're going to do them, it's time to do them and not wait till we get ahead or till we catch up or till we get the credit cards paid off. And we need to do the things we need to do. There's a brave soul inside I'm still longing to be. Buried so deep, she's like a distant memory. She's sick and tired of waiting, holding her breath. Wants to wake up and shake up the life I've got left. There's someone in my mirror whose voice keeps getting clearer, asking, what would I do this year if I had no fear? So I'm making a list of things I haven't done in life, and my whiny ass excuses for why I never tried. The Palomino never ridden, the piano never played, and I realize there's nothing that I can't start today. There's someone in my keeps getting clearer, asking, what would I do this year if I had no fear? No fear here, no fear here, da da da. Africa and Asia, Auckland and Antarctica, Alaska and Australia. Next comes my B list. Be confident, be brave, be daring enough to refuse to behave. There's someone in my mirror whose voice keeps getting clearer, asking, what would I do this year if I had no fear? No fear here, no fear here, da da da.
That's the title cut of your latest album.
Yeah. Yes. What would you do this year if you had no fear?
You throw out some great questions to people with your music. Jonna Stanfield. And again, I just want to make note, she will be at the Westport United Methodist Church over the next 2 days, starting tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock with a free songwriting workshop. And
no talent required. No musical talent required.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And she will be in concert at the church tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. And the church is located at 49 Weston Road in Westport, just a little north of exit 42 of the Merritt Parkway. And then on Sunday, it'll be a Sunday sermon in song at the 9:30 a.m. service, and then a chance after the service to meet and greet Jonna Stanfield. You wanted me to say that differently, but I...
For me to meet everybody.
Right.
For Jonna to meet everybody.
Good opportunity.
Yeah.
And I would imagine you'll be taking some questions there as well.
Oh,
if
always.
People have them.
Yeah. In fact, that's I really like what this church does. After, you know, after the morning services, they've got coffee and, you know, fellowship and food. And then you come back into the sanctuary and just have a chat. It's like a coffee talk.
Okay.
And it's a coffee talk where we're just going to talk about whatever comes up.
Wonderful.
And have a great discussion about it.
And this is not your first time.
This is my second time here.
Okay.
I was here a year ago.
Right.
And lots of thanks to Jerry Eister, who put that together last year and this year, out of his love for music and his desire to share that with people and also bring them to this very open, inclusive, wonderful church. You know, a lot of people, they were dissatisfied with whatever church they grew up in, if they grew up in a church or not. You know, they like would like to find some place where they can find like-minded individuals.
Right.
And so another great thing for another great thing about having folk concerts in churches, you can bring kids, teenagers. It's an all-ages show. And it's something everyone will enjoy in all ages of the family. And then the good thing for the church is it lets people see, oh, wow, this is a fun place. This is a good place. They're not serious here. They're not going to make me feel bad. This is a good place. Yeah, I appreciate churches for that. And I appreciate you sharing our music by doing these interviews and being here for 30 years?
38 years.
38 years. Yeah. So have you been
just
doing
a
the
labor,
same?
Labor of love. Yeah,
yeah.
Doing the same show.
Yeah, I guess your pay has risen quite a lot over the last 38 years.
I am a volunteer.
That is
it's
so
just,
beautiful.
It's labor of love. I have loved the music. And, you know, we're talking about the positive, you know, music movement. You know, I've always felt that's one of the great allures and attractions for me to folk and acoustic music as well.
Really? And is it the insights in the music that draw you?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the songs you're more drawn to?
Yeah, I also like the history of a lot of the music. And I just have found that performers who are within the music are just some of the greatest people. On earth, that, you know, you just like, you know, just as you were saying, you like being with them.
Yeah, and you find like-minded individuals.
Yes, right. So it's, you know, I just love promoting the music, I guess.
Thank you for doing that. You are using your gifts to be helpful. Your voice, sharing your interest. You have a lovely voice on the radio. And also, I'm noticing, you know, your questions are insightful and meaningful. And I appreciate you using your medium to let people know us and know that this music is out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for coming in and joining us here at, and adding to the roster of performers who have
been
in our studio here in this converted garage, I guess. I think this was the garage of the house originally. Mm-hmm. And our thanks to Paul Litvinovich, our chief engineer, who is mixing sound this evening.
And a shout out to Paul. You know what? I sound so good, I don't even want to stop. When I'm normally singing and I don't have this mic and this sound, I just sort of get bored with myself. But tonight I'm just up on this mic and singing, and it sounds so beautiful in my headset. Thank you.
I want to let people know how to find you, too, on the internet at jannastanfield.com. And Jana Stanfield, you mush the two names together, and it's Stanfield. And before it, put Jana, Jana, jannastanfield.com. And you will find out an amazing amount of information about this amazing woman. Mm-hmm. And I love a lot of the videos that are on the webpage.
You.
Really fascinating.
Thank you. If anyone would like to be in one of my videos, we've got a trip going to Bali a couple of days after Thanksgiving, a volunteer trip. And so we always do a video of the trip and of the people on the trip. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was shocked that you didn't come in with a painted face. I saw that in one of the videos.
Well, I've just come back from the Amazon where they painted our faces like Indian. You know, they paint their face that way to be in the jungle, and that was really cool.
Right. And again, just to go over the schedule for this weekend, the free songwriting workshop, and again, no talent necessary, just bring yourself.
And any age.
I've
taught this in elementary schools, and any age will get something out of it.
Terrific. That's at 10 a.m. at the Westport United Methodist Church, again, on Weston Road, just north of exit 42 of the Mare Parkway. Then Jana will be in concert at 8 p.m. in the church tomorrow evening. And then she will be doing the Sunday Sermon in Song at 9:30, which has got to be a real treat for those attending the service. And then there'll be sort of a meet and greet after the service also at the church.
Yeah.
So would you like to finish with one song? And thank you very, very much for coming in and sharing your talents and your insights with us here at WSHU Public Radio.
I'm just a spoke in the wheel, one grain of sand, but it feels so right to be right where I am. One little part of a much bigger plan, and the longer I'm here, the more I understand. I am one, we are one, like the rays of the sun. When it's all said and done, I am one, we are one. I'm just one little part of a much bigger plan. One drop of rain, one grain of sand, and it feels so right to be right where I am, right where I am. I am one, we are one, like the rays of the sun. When it's all said and done, I am one, we are one. One we are one. Just one drop of rain, one grain of sand, but the longer I'm here, the more I understand.
Stanfield. Live in WSHU Studio A, as she joined us for the past hour here at WSHU Public Radio. And we thank her very, very much for the uplifting music that she offered. And we packed a pretty good amount of music into 1 hour of the program, probably a couple more songs than we usually do, and still managed to get in quite a bit of chatting as well with Jonna Stanfield. Again, her webpage is jonnastanfield.com.